Hey, Lulu here. Whether we are romping through science, music, politics, technology, or feelings, we seek to leave you seeing the world anew. Radiolab adventures right on the edge of what we think we know, wherever you get podcasts.
All right, folks, so
it was a very good year.
2003. Remember back to 2003. Jason Blair, life coach, joining us from Centerville, Virginia. Some people will probably remember your name, but remind us, 2003 was not a great year for you, right?
No, it wasn't.
You were working for the New York Times, right?
I was working for the Times, and in 2003, unbeknownst to me, I had been going through all sorts of different things, didn't understand them, didn't realize I had a mental illness, but I had plagiarized and fabricated stories, had gotten caught, ended up in a psychiatric hospital, resigned from the paper under pressure. There was unbelievable turmoil.
Right. Well, it was called the Jason Blair scandal by people at the Times the lowest point in the 152-year history of the paper. I'm wondering, Jason Blair, if today the New York Times, struggling for its financial life in some sense, would yearn to have the problems it had back in 2003. There's a bit of timing here, wouldn't you say?
Yeah, I mean, the year 2003 to 2009 have been pretty tough for the Times. I don't think they'd ever want to go back to something like that.
And we wouldn't want to go back there, no.
No, as bad as the business problems are, their journalism, it's what they value the most. And I think that was a particularly hard time for them. And, I acutely feel that as somebody who cares about the newspaper.
All right. So you got in trouble for writing fiction for the nonfiction New York Times. Now you're doing something very different as a life coach in Virginia. How do you acquire the credibility to advise people on crises in their life if you have a reputation for pushing the truth a little bit?
Well, I didn't intend to work in a professional field helping people. The way it actually started was I started some support groups in Northern Virginia for people who had bipolar, not necessarily because I wanted to help the world, but because I needed a support group to go to relate to people. And I spent about 3 years leading those support groups. They grew. There are numerous ones for, there's one for teenagers. There's one for, two for family and friends. A number of ones for people with bipolar and then people with depression. And in the course of that, I came across Dr. Michael Oberschneider, who's the director of Ashburn Psychological Services, a well-known and respected private mental health practice.
Who actually joins us now. He's on the line. Dr. Michael Oberschneider is the founder and director of the Ashburn Group that Jason Blair is now employed by. What attracted you to, I would have to say, a difficult property, Mr. Jason Blair, and when you were looking at his work in these support groups, Dr. Oberschneider?
Sure. Thanks for having me on the show, John. Well, let me first start by saying I wouldn't have hired Jason Blair when he was actively bipolar or substance abusing. I hired Jason Blair in recovery, and we know in our field that there are a self-select group of people who enter our field through the back door. Those who have had mental illness or substance abuse turn their lives around and then can make great contributions to the field. I mean, some of the best substance abuse counselors I've ever known are previous abusers themselves. Even some of the greatest theorists of the field, Marsha Linehan, for example, is outspoken very much about her own borderline personality disorder. Her contributions to mental health are invaluable. I put Jason Blair in that group. He's smart as a whip. He's got an electric personality, and he's highly trained to do life coaching. He's helping us as a team tremendously. He's an invaluable asset to Ashburn Psych.
Jason, this is Amy Holmes here.
Hey, Amy.
I have a question, though, that I really want to clarify. So mm-hmm. You say you've been diagnosed as bipolar and you had
Correct.
Substance abuse problems while you went through your career crisis at the time. Times, are you then attributing your journalistic lapses to bipolar?
No. I've long said since then, and it's one of the points that gets obscured in the whole story, that the role that bipolar disorder played in what happened at the Times is it magnified it. It made it out of control. It made it very hard for me to reach out for help. But ultimately, the key to, when you look at my story, the key to, being treated for bipolar disorder, it added to my quality of life, but it then allowed me to explore some of those character issues and some of those other problems that also contributed to it.
So how do you recover? I mean, I can see how you recover clinically and medically from bipolar? I mean, I've never had the experience, but I understand there's a trajectory there that's clinical, right. And the doctor could talk about that. But how do you recover your reputation personally, your credibility?
I don't think it's been necessarily a mission to recover my reputation. It's just happened on its own by the hard work. Working in the support groups and working with people in the mental health community, and they see the blood, sweat, and tears. They see the effort. They see my willingness to show up at 3 a.m. at the hospitals to learn, to understand. I think that it has, how can I put it this way? For a lot of people who are in mental health recovery, it's very appealing to them to see someone who has fallen so far and then to see that person in front of their face rebuilt. So
Jason, I don't mean to be cruel here, but would you say that you've recovered your reputation professionally in terms of journalistically, or that you've just created a new reputation?
No, I mean it's a new reputation. It's not about recovering. For me, it's not about recovering the journalistic reputation. One of the questions that I've gotten over the last few days has been, hey, Jason, how do you react when, people say X, Y, or Z, or you shouldn't be doing this or that? For the most part, I never get that reaction. What people see is what I'm doing in their loved one's life, in their life. And the relevance of what's happened in the past for them is how it can inform or help their individual situation.
And, how many subscribers to the Times are there in Centerville, Virginia? We got to go, but I have to ask you. So if you were given a speech like Ben Bernanke is today, Reflections on a Year of Crisis, how would you reflect on a year of crisis in your deep experience, Jason Blair?
You mean in my own life?
Yeah, your own. I mean, crisis is a crisis, right?
Yeah, well, I mean, the one thing that I can say about crisis, which doesn't exactly answer your question, is, don't make the mistake I did and not reach out for help. Because if I had reached out to the kind of people who have helped me since I left the Times before, we probably would have never been in that situation.
Well, takeaway there from Jason Blair, whose crisis year was 2003. Dr. Michael Oberschneider, yes. Is there any potential here? Maybe you could get Rumsfeld involved in your support groups. There's no bipolar issue there, but he needs some rehab.
Yeah.
He needs some rehab.
I'll take no comment on that one.
Just
a shout out to Jason. He's a fantastic life coach, and he's really an important member to the team. I wish every mental health practice had a Jason Blair on their team.
Well, you're a very smart man, Dr. Oberschneider. Thanks so much for being with us. Founder and director at Ashburn Psychological Services. Also, Jason Blair, familiar from the Jason Blair scandal at the New York Times. Now a life coach in Centerville, Virginia. Thanks to both of you.